ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Reaction around the world to the death of Russian dissident Alexei Navalny. Dozens were on the streets of Beverly Hills.
Putin is a killer. Today, Putin make big mistake.
Navalny's allies have now confirmed his death in a Russian penal colony. They say he was murdered. They're demanding the return of his body. Navalny's death also a major topic at the Munich Security Conference, where NATO's Secretary General called on the U.S. to send more aid to Ukraine. Former President Trump's vowing to appeal after a New York judge ordered him to pay $355 million in penalties for lying about his wealth in order to get more favorable loan and insurance rates. President Biden visited East Palestine, Ohio for the first time since a Norfolk Southern freight train derailed and spilled chemicals last year. And one firefighter was killed, nine were hurt in a home explosion in Sterling, Virginia. This is ABC News. New data reinforces the belief that exercise helps treat depression, says ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
Walking, jogging, yoga, and strength training show notable effectiveness against depression, particularly at higher intensities. That's according to a study in the British Medical Journal that analyzed data from 218 other studies. Over 14,000 people of all ages with depression were studied. But the British Journal authors say they could only be sure of one particular study's lack of bias. All the other studies might be subpar. So, more studies needed.
A Northern California judge is under investigation by the State Judicial Performance Commission for allegedly making anti-Semitic remarks addressing a deputy public defender, failing to recuse himself from cases involving people he socialized with, sexually harassing women, and other violations. Humboldt County Superior Court Judge Gregory Christ called the charges outright lies. Brian Clark, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories, will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights. But police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Governor Evers is considering new legislative district maps that experts say are an improvement over the current gerrymandered maps. As Mike Moan reports, fair maps should lead to more functional and responsive state government.
This week, the Republican-led legislature approved the maps submitted by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Yuseli Flores with the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition says if these maps are fully implemented, they'll finally usher in a more balanced legislative body.
These maps would change Wisconsin's future for years to come, and it will definitely get rid of what happened in 2011. It'll dismantle that partisan gerrymander.
Following the 2010 census, Republicans were in charge of the redistricting process and have since maintained large majorities in the legislature. That's despite more competitive races for statewide elections. Evers has pledged to sign the maps. However, some of his fellow Democrats have misgivings about the GOP's approach, including language that says the maps wouldn't take effect until the general election in November, excluding any special or recall elections this year. And some policy analysts say Republicans still might hold a slight advantage even with the Evers maps. However, Flores says that doesn't mean there won't be any progress in establishing the change advocates want to see. She adds this could help bolster candidate recruitment in marginalized districts.
Folks that might not have millions of dollars in the bank that are running because they're tired of big money politics.
State election leaders have set a deadline of March 15th for the new maps to be in place. The hurry to update the boundaries comes after the Wisconsin Supreme Court overturned the current legislative districts in a December ruling. The court would have to choose maps if an agreement isn't finalized in time. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Monday on Nightlight, I welcome author Beth Amos and Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson. Join us in our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mix of clouds and sun, a high near 27. Southwest winds will be strong, up to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, still breezy, lows around 25. And breezy on your Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 36. Near 40 Monday.
It's 8 at our studios.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Karagiwina. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Mm-hmm. You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is brought to you by the city of Minneapolis.
Yeah, and we are Native Roots Radio Presents Minneapolis Air, and we have our guest host, Christine McDonald, on here, and we are ready to rock and roll with her guest. Welcome, and what a day here. Happy Valentine's and MMIR Day. Christine, it was great seeing you and seeing all the great speakers today.
Yeah, it was a wonderful event. I was really excited to be there. It was so well attended. There were so many people, and it was a beautiful morning. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Haley was there, and we had the proclamation by the governor. We had State Senator Mary Kunish and a couple other politicians. And, of course, somberness of names of our relatives that are still missing out there. And it was great to see all our relatives, and also very great to have our names brought out there and brought out into the light. And so... It was a good thing. So, hey, we got another show here with Minneapolis Air. And if you want to discuss what AIR stands for our listening audience, and then bring in your guests.
Okay. So, Bujou, Ogadaki, Gabuig, Ndijinaka, Zajijak, Ndundem. I am Christine McDonald. I'm the American Indian Community Specialist for the city of Minneapolis. And we have a Minneapolis AIR on the radio, Minneapolis American Indian Relations, where we are going to be bringing information that is important for our community to learn about. And today we're going to talk about the Community Connections Conference and what the city of Minneapolis is doing for sex trafficking. Every year, the city holds a special event called the Community Connections Conference and Green Zone Summit. And this year's event is coming up in just a couple of days. With us to talk about that is Erica Myers from the Neighborhood and Community Relations Department and Northside Green Zone member Leslie Jackson. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
So can you, Erica, how about you? Can you start by telling us a little bit about what you do?
Absolutely. So I work at the Neighborhood and Community Relations Department through the City of Minneapolis. I'm a neighborhood support specialist. And this year, I'm also one of the co- co-coordinators, along with our lovely host, Christine McDonald, of the Community Connections Conference.
Thank you. Leslie, can you tell us about yourself?
Sure. I'm a Northside member of the Green Zones, and I'm here coordinating along with the Minneapolis Connect to talk about our summit today and what we have going on this weekend.
Wonderful. So. Wonderful. Thank you. Erica, can you tell us what is the Community Connections Conference?
Absolutely. The Minneapolis Community Connections Conference is a fun, free, engaging annual event hosted by the City of Minneapolis's Neighborhood and Community Relations Department. The conference brings together people living in Minneapolis, community groups, neighborhoods, local government, and elected officials. It's a great place to connect with your neighbors, meet the people behind important city departments, city leaders, and learn about community services. Everyone is invited, so we hope to see everyone there. It's actually happening this Saturday, February 17th, from 9 to 4 at the Minneapolis Convention Center in downtown Minneapolis. We'll be on the first floor in Hall E. And you can pre-register online now, or you can do it in person when you arrive. And you can find out all this information and register at minneapolismn.gov/ccc.
Thank you. Leslie, can you tell us what is the Green Zone Summit?
It's an event hosted by the North and South Side Green Zones in partner with the Community Connection Conference. The summit raises awareness for the Minneapolis Green Zones and the community. It's a space to bring people together to address our environmental issues and in Minneapolis. So that's what I like to say. I'm a little nervous, so please forgive me.
No problem. Can you tell us more about what are Green Zones and what is environmental justice?
Well, the Green Zones are, sections that are bordered off in our city that's heavily polluted and contaminated that affects the residents there. And there's entities within the green zones, like different factories and contaminants in buildings that were there. And they were mapped out by the City of Minneapolis team and the zoning to label which ones are highly have contaminants that affect the residents and the health and the well-being. The environmental justice is that's something that affects us all. And there's many different aspects to environmental justice. It could be the air, the water, the soil. People identify it with imprisonment, the trafficking, and things like that. So what the Green Zones is, we aim to correct the injustice that's placed upon our communities to make it a better, healthy, safer environment for all that live in the green zones and our city within, because as you know, Minneapolis connects north and south, and it's only a minute away, but we all are affected by different things that plague us, and it's all nations of people that are affected by it. So I'm just happy to be a Green Zone member to utilize my education to help those in our community that need the awareness and what the Green Zones brings that people don't know. So I call us the unsung heroes because we fight injustices that plague us, the lead and the air and the water. So yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's really important work. Thank you. Is this the first time that the city is doing something like this? Is this the first conference, Erica?
No, actually, our department, NCR, has been organizing these conferences since 2012. So this year is the city's 11th event.
Beautiful. Leslie, can you tell us if this is the first Green Zone Summit that the city's held?
Actually, this is our third year, and we're so happy to be partnering with the Minneapolis Community Connection. I mean, it's just a great excitement for us and how everything is set up. So just happy to be a part of this convention.
We're happy to join. Happy to have you join us each year. Thank you. Erica, why is the city organizing this event?
So we're hosting this conference so that community members, city departments, and decision makers can connect and build relationships. We also are hosting it so that residents can learn about programs and policies that affect them. And ultimately, we really want all communities to feel welcome and to be able to get involved in local decision making. And our conference theme this year is Open City, Your Minneapolis. And with that theme, we really want to focus on making Minneapolis a transparent, accessible city. And being an open city means being open to everyone, open to new ideas, and open to business.
Thank you.
Do we just have one more minute left? Do we want to just shout out any websites or links where we can find more information about these?
Yep. Well, let me remind folks that this is a completely free event to attend. It's on this Saturday, February 17th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. You can pre-register. That is really helpful for us to help plan out our lunch for the day, which is also completely free. Or else you can register on site at the event. But our website is www.minneapolismn.gov/CCC. And you can find out all the information for the day.
All right. Hey, let's take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio presents Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relationships. Guest host Christine McDonald leading the way. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Ho!
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Festival of Foods and Diamonds and Gold present Let Me Be Frank Silver Jubilee Season at the Meyer Theater. And our first show of the year is Two and a Half Belgians, Friday, February 2nd through February 24th. Join me, Two and a Half, and my other brothers, 1 through 5, as we work at the Frosty Tip in Dykesville and cruise for Illinois Babes in Fish Creek. It's the late 60s. Herky and Mabel are the proprietors of the Frosty Tip. Two and a Half Belgians runs Friday, February 2nd through Saturday, February 24th. For tickets, go to MeyerTheater.org or call 920-494-3401.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the city of Minneapolis.
Right on. And hey, we're Native Roots Radio, and we're partnering with Minneapolis Air, and we got our guest host, Christine McDonald, doing a great job here. Great job, everyone. Very informative, and welcome back.
Christine, I think you might be muted.
It might be muted, Christine. We'll get you that. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back. We're going to keep having our conversation here about the Minneapolis Connections Community Connections Conference. We have, it's a really large event. We have a huge showing. We have about anywhere from 1,000 to 1,200 people that usually come. Erica, can you tell us more about what people can expect to see when they come to our conference?
Yeah, absolutely. There's going to be a lot for people to see and do and interact with. People can expect to see so many things. There are a lot of opportunities to learn, connect, and enjoy being in community. In addition to the exhibit hall with over 200 booths, there'll be an opening ceremony with cultural performances, morning breakout sessions, a delicious free lunch, and an afternoon session focused on the Child Friendly City Initiative and public safety. So registration table and exhibit hall will both open at 9 in the morning. And some of the fun things that you can find in the exhibit hall will be a fire truck, a free on-site COVID vaccine clinic. There's no insurance is needed. It's free. Fun activities for kids, including an indoor soccer field and even live animals from the Minnesota Zoo booth. at some of the other booths, you can learn about what all the different departments at the city of Minneapolis do, immigration and other legal help, opioid resources, CPR, and you can actually practice CPR on a mannequin, air pollution monitoring. There's also going to be a booth where you can learn about jobs and paid internships for youth with the city of Minneapolis, Minneapolis Parks, state of Minnesota, and others. And you can meet HR staff and learn what it's like to work for the city. Information about how to start a green career, and so much others. In the morning, we have a number of workshops with topics including renter's rights, home ownership, making voting a tradition, and the Urban Scholars Program. And then at lunch, we have a free, delicious lunch with a diverse menu with six different local vendors. This will include halal and vegan food options. And then finally, in the afternoon, we have a community dialogue about youth and public safety led by youth from the Youth Coordinating Board.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Just a couple of things that I want to point out that's specific for our community. During our opening ceremony, we've invited Misko Gimiwan Pupart Chapman to be a part of that opening ceremony, and she'll be doing a fancy shawl dance for us there. And then if you're coming for lunch, our free lunch, we have invited the Powell Grounds to be there, and they're going to be providing Indian tacos. So fry bread tacos, if you've never had one before, this is a great time to come through and try it out and check out our conference. Leslie, can you tell us more about what the Green Zone Summit is going to have on site that day?
Well, we'll have workshops and several exhibits, all different projects that lead up, that are happening and leading into the Green Zones. So we have highlights. We have recycling basic workshops with Rusty and the crew. Kids can come up and meet Rusty and take photos with their with their mascot. And then we have different hubs from the Environmental Resilience organization from East Phillips. And so they have all different types of things where you can learn what's going on in our city. And then we also will have a virtual Green Zone Environmental Justice Tour. It's virtual, and you could see all the different sites that are in the green zones that we have going on. So we have a virtual tour. You could even sign up to take a live bus tour of that. We also have workshops with climate grants and green jobs, clean air, healthy homes, different goals and things that people want to see with the equity plan. You can stop by our section in exhibit hall. So we're going to have exhibit there, and it's we're going to have different little things to give away. We're going to have our Green Zone t-shirts and things like that, so people can come and check it out. And you know, just a lot of different activities that will be happening on the 17th, 9 to 4 p.m. So it's just a big collaboration of activities that has been going on in the Green Zones, and different projects that the Green Zones have funded through the community. So we do a lot of support to different projects that the community is doing, and a lot of people will be there exhibiting what they do. So thank you again for having us. I'm sorry I'm tongue-tied.
No, you're doing great. Thank you so much. We really enjoy having you. It's a lot of great information that the community is able to get from you. And then Erica, so we have just one workshop planned for the afternoon. Can you tell us more about what that community dialogue is going to be about that's going to happen that afternoon?
Yeah, absolutely. We're pretty excited about it. We have a number of council members and city leadership who have confirmed that they're going to be on site and partake in the dialogue. And so today, actually, the city of Minneapolis became the second city in the United States to be designated as a UNICEF USA child-friendly city. Mm-hmm. And so Minneapolis will write a three-year plan that prioritizes emergency preparedness, youth voice and decision-making, leadership, community safety, and child rights. And as a part of our ongoing engagement with young people and families, we invite everyone to join us and Minneapolis City Council members, the Minneapolis Youth Cabinet, the Minneapolis Youth Coordinating Board, and city leaders for this dialogue. about how we should create a safe, healthy, and child-friendly city. Our discussion will focus on community safety, and it starts at 2 p.m. after lunch. And one of the other really exciting things about it is these conversations will be facilitated by youth from the Youth Coordinating Board.
That's impressive. Thank you. So before we end this segment, is there anything else that you want to mention about our conference that's coming up this Saturday?
Yes. So we hope to see everyone this Saturday. It's made possible only with, in collaboration with community. So we really want to take a moment to thank our community partners, Aromia 11, the Minneapolis American Indian Center, Trellis, the Lake Street Latino Business Association, the Disability Law Center, the Lao Assistance Center, CenterPoint Energy, Metro Transit, Medica, and Xcel Energy. And you don't need to drive downtown to come here. The Metro Transit is offering free rides to the conference on their buses and light rail between 7 and 6 on the conference day. So you just need to go to MinneapolisMN.gov/CCC and download your free pass. Again, that's MinneapolisMN.gov/CCC. The conference is this Saturday, February 17th, 9 to 4. We hope to see you all there.
Thank you. I think one of the things that we are doing this year, and I'm sure you brought it up, we usually have 5 different vendors for lunch, representing our East African community, Latino, Southeast Asian, African American, American Indian. One of the things we're doing this year is we're adding a vendor specifically for vegan and gluten-free. I know in the past we've had some people who didn't get there in time, weren't able to get it, but we usually have plenty of food. We've always had plenty of food. That's one of the highlights of our event. Every year I invite people, and when somebody new comes, they come up to me and like, man, I wish I would have came before. I had such a great time. It was way more fun than I expected it to be. One of the other things that we have coming in is the Minneapolis Zoo. Erica, can you tell us anything about what they're bringing in?
So I know that they have a number of animals slated to make an appearance. For sure, I know that there's a hissing cockroach, a snake, and a millipede. And rumors are that a turtle might be on board as well.
Turtle? No moose? I wanted a moose.
You know what there will be, though? There's going to be the mounted police are going to be at the entrance with the horses. So there's an opportunity to meet the horses that are part of the mounted unit. And so that's pretty exciting as well.
That is really exciting. I also know last year, the Minnesota Department of Public Safety had a number of exhibits there. Do you know what some of those are and if they're returning this year?
Well, I know that we will have a fire truck inside of the exhibit hall. There's also going to be a Metro Transit bus, mm-hmm. and then a couple different SUVs that are used for, I don't have that on the tip of my tongue, but there's vehicles, there's an ejector, like a seatbelt thing
that you can
test how seatbelts, save lives. So there's a lot of great things to do and see and experience. And again, it's free mm-hmm. and we feed you. So we hope to see you all there.
The other thing that I think is important is we do provide interpretation services for folks that need it. So you're able to come and show up on site and register in language if needed. There'll be interpreters available for other places. Erica, are you able to share where else in the conference that we provide that?
So we will have them for sure at the opening ceremony and then in the afternoon dialogue session. However, if there are translation needs, you simply just need to go to the front desk, the registration desk, and they will set you up with interpreters. We have, through requests, we have about 8 different people.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents Minneapolis Air with guest host Christina McDonald. We'll be right back.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Reaction around the world to the death of Russian dissident Alexei Navalny. Dozens were on the streets of Beverly Hills.
Putin is a killer. Today, Putin make big mistake.
Navalny's allies have now confirmed his death in a Russian penal colony. They say he was murdered. They're demanding the return of his body. Navalny's death also a major topic at the Munich Security Conference, where NATO's Secretary General called on the U.S. to send more aid to Ukraine. Former President Trump's vowing to appeal after a New York judge ordered him to pay $355 million in penalties for lying about his wealth in order to get more favorable loan and insurance rates. President Biden visited East Palestine, Ohio for the first time since a Norfolk Southern freight train derailed and spilled chemicals last year. And one firefighter was killed, nine were hurt in a home explosion in Sterling, Virginia. This is ABC News.
How to get out of a slump. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team trying to rebound after that four-game losing streak. In January, they won 7 out of 8 games and were ranked 6th in the nation. This week, they're 20th. After finally ending a four-game slump with that win over Ohio State, head coach Greg Gard has tried everything.
We'll get out of it. You know, we'll get back. We had a bad week. You know, I thought we played all right against good weeks. You know, like a few possessions back here or there. A bad half against Nebraska. But, you know, this last past week sucked. Yeah, and we got to play better. We didn't play well. So, get back to playing well, playing how we know we can play, how we have played. You know? So that's the main thing. It's just continue to reinforce, remember who we were and who we have been. And you've been that a lot more than what you've been the past week.
That's the Wisconsin Badgers head coach, Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mix of clouds and sun, a high near 27. Southwest winds will be strong, up to 30 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, still breezy, lows around 25. And breezy on your Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 36. Near 40 Monday.
It's 8 at our studios.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Birkebeiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Birkebeiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
From Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the city of Minneapolis.
Right on. And this is a Native Roots Radio Presents Minneapolis Air. And our guest host, Kristen McDonald, is doing a great job. And the guests are doing great. Very informative. Take it away.
Thank you for coming back and joining us today. We were just finishing out talking about the Community Connections Conference. I'll just ask Erica and Leslie if they have anything else that they want to add before we move on to our next guest.
Nothing more to add except for we really, really want this to be a beautiful space for folks to come. Meet your elected officials, meet your neighbors, meet your community, meet the folks who provide services in our community. And we hope to see you there February 17th, 9 to 4, Minneapolis Convention Center.
Thank you. This Saturday.
This Saturday. Yes. Yeah.
I hope to see everybody there. We're going to have a great event. This is our third year running. Come and support. Come and get involved, come to Green Zone meetings, just be a part of our community that, you know, that we're alive, we're here, we survived, and we continue to live. So come and join us. See everybody Saturday. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for being here today. And I'll definitely be there. I'll see you guys Saturday. So earlier today at Minneapolis, the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's and Relatives March took place in the East Phillips neighborhood. It's a reminder that Native American people are at a disproportionate risk of experiencing violence, murder, or going missing, and making up a significant portion of the missing and murdered cases. These cases include instances of human trafficking, including sex and labor trafficking. It's estimated that as much as 40% of women who are victims of sex trafficking identify as American Indian, Alaskan Native, or First Nations. So now we're going to take a look at human trafficking and what's being done by the city of Minneapolis to prevent it. Joining us now is Sunu Sretha. She is the senior advisor for human trafficking prevention in the city's Racial Equity Inclusion and Belonging Department. Thank you for coming on with us today. Sunu, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do?
Yeah, hi. Well, thank you very much for having me, Christine. It's so lovely to be here. My name is Sunu Sretha. I'm the city's senior advisor, and my position is housed in the new Department of Racial Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging. I joined the city on June 18 of 2018 to develop a comprehensive blueprint aimed at guiding the city in addressing human trafficking and exploitation holistically. This initiative was fully funded by two national funders, NOVA Foundation and Humanity United, and that entailed involving extensive engagement with internal stakeholders within the city enterprise and external stakeholders, including survivors over the first 2.5 years, which would actually conclude in a comprehensive document outlining list of policy recommendations, implementation of best practices, and areas for improvement and investment, especially in services to end and prevent both sex and labor trafficking, as well as labor and sexual exploitation. My role includes currently overseeing a portfolio of work that intersects and overlaps with human trafficking and exploitation in the city, and implementing the blueprint.
Thank you. Can you tell us more about what is human trafficking?
Yes, absolutely. Well, human trafficking involves force, fraud, or coercion to obtain a person for the purpose of sexual acts or forced labor. Or if someone is under the age of 18, the use of force, fraud, and coercion is relevant. And these are basically federal definitions and international definitions as well. However, in Minnesota, the elements of force, fraud, and coercion are not required as long as someone is involved in the facilitating of the sale of a person and receiving profits from it. So basically, pimping is sex trafficking in Minnesota. And as noted by the Minnesota Human Trafficking Task Force and many other entities nationally and internationally, human trafficking is a public health issue, it's a public safety issue, it's human rights issue, and that occurs globally and as well as here in Minnesota.
Thank you. Can you let us know a little bit more about why this work is important to the city and for the residents?
Absolutely. I think especially as we know more about what constitutes human trafficking, we now can characterize it as a multidimensional issue with intersecting vulnerabilities. Like I noted earlier, it's a matter of public health, public safety, and constitutes violations of individuals' human rights and civil rights. And as a local municipal government, we have a very important role in ensuring that residents in Minneapolis feel safe and secure with their rights upheld. And in instances where their rights are violated, it's imperative that our existing mechanisms for recourses are accessible to all individuals. We must also establish systems to protect vulnerable populations, especially from BIPOC communities and those identifying as LGBTQIA+, who are disproportionately impacted. As you noted, Christine, earlier, Native Americans, Indigenous, Alaskans, women are disproportionately impacted by sex trafficking. I think now that the more we know about the different intersections, we need to ensure that our systems are in place to prevent harm, to prevent violence, promote well-being, holistic well-being of our residents, empower communities, and provide essential services to victims and survivors in their healing journey and recovery. And this healing and recovery journey looks very different to different people. And we need to ensure that we are being very mindful of those factors. And there are certainly different mechanisms, infrastructures, and structures within the city enterprise which carry different functions. And they all combined certainly helps to end and prevent human trafficking and exploitation in different forms. The different departments and divisions that are currently engaged and have been engaged in work are Minneapolis Health Department, their City Attorney's Office, their Civil Rights Department, especially Complaint Investigation and Labor Standards Enforcement divisions within Civil Rights Department. There's Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs within the Department of Neighborhood and Community Relations. There are housing liaisons in regulatory services. Of course, Minneapolis Police Department, business licensing in Community Planning and Economic Development Department, and IGR, which is Intergovernmental Relations Department.
That is something I wasn't even aware of, but all those departments that work together to provide services and prevention. Are there trends that you've noticed in the community that have you concerned currently?
Well, in the last few years, we've certainly seen the intersections between homelessness and substance use disorders to be more apparent. And I don't know if it's or is if there's a way for us to definitively establish whether these intersections represent emerging trends in Minneapolis, or whether we are more aware, and this more awareness, this heightened awareness and knowledge and education has led us to recognize and acknowledge these interconnectedness with human trafficking more clearly now. Here, I do like to quickly note that homelessness among youth had been identified and acknowledged as one of the major factors contributing to the exploitation, especially sexual exploitation and sex trafficking of young people in Minnesota. In fact, this recognition led to the passage of the Safe Harbor for Youth Act in 2011. What has been more apparent is that individuals, regardless of age, regardless of any other status, demographic, any other groups, experiencing homelessness and those struggling with substance use disorders are particularly vulnerable to exploitation and trafficking. And of course, we shouldn't forget that there are other factors such as mental health issues, economic instability, poverty, lack of social support, involvement in criminal justice system, experience in foster care system, gender identity, sexual orientation, race, immigration status. These all can increase individuals' vulnerability and susceptibility to human trafficking and exploitation, which is why it's so critical to acknowledge and address these intersections so we can better understand the complexities of human trafficking and exploitation and develop more comprehensive strategies to address these in a very holistic manner.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think one of the things that sticks out for me in some of the things that you've just brought up is the intersection of a lot of these different social issues. And what I find in the conversations I find myself in is how it seems like a lot of government entities tend to silo that work. So it just really, to me, emphasizes the importance of the work that you do and being able to connect with all those different areas within our government entities.
Hey, let's take a quick break here, you two. This is Native Roots Radio presents Minneapolis Air with guest host Kristen McDonald. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media Radio Network recognizes the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Kelvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Echoes of Empowerment, Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl Ingram.
In March 1965, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. led a peaceful group marching in support of voting rights, but police attacked them as they tried to cross the Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Voting was nearly impossible for black people because of unfair processes like literacy tests and poll taxes. A few months after the march protests, Congress passed the Voting Rights Act, giving everyone a chance to vote. Listen for more Black History stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis.
Oh, darn. I thought we were going to howl. Hey, this is Minneapolis Air, American Indian Relations with guest host Christine McDonald. And we are on the final segment here. And it's been so interesting. So interesting. Take it away.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back. I have just a couple more questions I want to ask Sunu about related to prevention. Sunu, what should or could the community be doing to ensure that they are not victimized?
What a great question, Christine, and a million dollar question, right? Mm-hmm. But I say this, that we each hold a very important role in preventing human trafficking and exploitation of all kinds. The initial step involves just recognizing and acknowledging that this happens, right? For the longest time, I think we were in denial. And there are still some people who are in denial that this is an issue here in Minnesota. People think that this happens somewhere else and this does not happen here in our backyard. But this is happening in our backyard, and acknowledging that is the first initial step, right? And beyond awareness, we must provide support to victims and survivors, foster collaboration. Some of the names that I mentioned, especially within the city enterprise, and collaborations outside of the city enterprise with service providers, survivors, victims, the many community-based organizations, it's essential. And empowering individuals with knowledge. These are basically some of the things that we can do. But most importantly, we must and should and continue to actively engage in addressing root causes, such as systemic barriers that have been limiting certain groups of people from reaching their full potential. And only by implementing these strategies, we can realize our vision, the city's vision, where everyone feels safe and has the necessary tools and equipments and the opportunity to thrive, and thereby reducing their vulnerability to exploitation and trafficking.
Thank you. So your work is so very important. Do you do workshops for the community? How can a resident become more aware of your work?
Yeah, of course. I have been actively engaged with community groups from the moment I joined the city on June 18th, 2018. And I have been meeting people in groups. I do one-on-one engagement with individuals. We've not named them as workshops, but if there is an interest, I'm certainly open to organize one. All folks need to do is email me, call me, and ask me when they would want one or when we can plan for one. Mm-hmm. Although REIB is still a new department, we've migrated some of the work that used to be housed in the city coordinator's office, which is where I used to be before I migrated into this new department. We've also migrated some of the contents from the city coordinator's office to REIB's website. It is still under construction, but people can find additional information, learn about this great initiative in the city, and also download the blueprint, which we have called a holistic response to human trafficking and exploitation, a framework for action for the city. So people can download the blueprint there, read more about it. And if they have any question, they can call me, email me, and schedule one-on-one or workshops if they so choose to.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for joining me today and being a guest on the show. I learned some things, and I really appreciate the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the time.
Wow. That was awesome. We're learning so much here on our show, and what a great job, and what a bunch of great guests.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is for what I envisioned this radio show to do. This is what it is, to try to find things in the city that our community might not be aware of and provide mm-hmm. more information for them. And I just felt like this was timely. You know, we had the march today and being able to connect and find out what work the city is doing. I myself was not even aware of the way the different departments, so many different departments across the city, have their hands in human trafficking work and prevention.
Right. It's really great news. And like you said, it's mm-hmm. to amplify what's happening and the support that we're getting and giving.
Mm-hmm. I do have a couple other things that I want to bring up that I feel that are equally as important for our community to know about. We have the Partnership Engagement Fund. The city's Partnership Engagement Fund is now open for application. It is open for community organizations, groups, and individuals, and they can apply for funding for small scale, meaningful projects. So if you ever had an idea and thought, I wanted to do this thing, and if I had just this little bit of money, I could do it and I could impact my community and help my community be a safer, better, healthier place, this would be something that you would want to do. There's a total of $1 million that is going to be allocated for about 40 projects, so potentially $25,000 each. The deadline to start the application for the Partnership Engagement Fund is February 19th. And we're also seeking community volunteers to review the application. So there's a little bit of capacity building in there for folks in the community who want to learn more about doing grant writing, grant review. You can get more information at minneapolismn.gov/partnership fund, or you can text 612-321-8649, or you can email partnershipfund@minneapolismn.gov. Another important thing that is coming up is Urban Scholars paid summer internships are now open for application until March 4th. I feel it's really important for us to have representation in this group of youth that come to do work within the city of Minneapolis. I would love to see some of the youth that I know working in the departments across the city over the summer. The Urban Scholars application for paid summer internships is now open. This program invites college students and graduate students who want to work in the public sector. Apply by March 4th. The Urban Scholars program works towards an equitable workforce with leadership that reflects our community. The goals are to provide leadership and professional development training, high quality resume building work experience, guidance and opportunities to grow a meaningful professional network. And you can get more information on the city website by searching for Urban Scholar, or you can call 311. And then I think the other thing that I just want to reiterate is that our conference is happening on Saturday. I hope maybe both of you have time to come through and check it out. There are so many exciting things to come and see. It's an opportunity to visit with folks. You can meet city leaders. You can meet representatives from different city departments as well as community organizations. Can't emphasize enough that it's free. It's a free event this Saturday, February 17th at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Doors open at 9 a.m.
Wow, great job, great show. And I can't wait to see my former student, Misko, dancing there. Yes, and in the food. Yeah, it's definitely. Hey, this has been a great show. This has been Native Roots Radio presents Minneapolis Air, America Indian Relations, with guest host Christine McDonald. Hey, we'll see you all tomorrow. Great show. We'll be back tomorrow.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Psst, hey. Mark, remember, getting help from Progressive is so easy. You can use the mobile app, chat with us online, or call us.
And you pick now to tell me.
I couldn't miss Little Grace's ballet recital. Oh, thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Did I?
Because you know I'm always here for you.
Yeah. I can use the mobile app if I need help. Sorry, you're in my wife's seat, though.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go anyway. Tell Grace she nailed her chassé.
Get the help you need from Progressive with our mobile app, online chat, or over the phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A New York judge ordered former President Donald Trump to pay $355 million